What's up, everybody? Did you know we have another site where we ship sealed boxes around the world? It's mojobreakshop.com. We do pre-sales. We have all the wax you can imagine on the website, and we're offering a special introductory coupon for 10% off anything on the site. It's one-time use only. Save big on prices that are already lower than most websites out there. So get your stuff shipped right to your door and be your own breaker at mojobreakshop.com.
What is going down, everyone? It's time for Mojo Break the Hype, episode number 180. I can't believe every week is like 180. We've done 180 episodes. It's crazy. We're approaching 200. We'll do something big for 200. Maybe we'll drink that bottle of tequila behind us. But we've got a lot of stuff to talk about today. Revolution NBA is out 2021.
Yes, baby.
C-Rad's favorite product. We're gonna talk about that, and C-Rad can't wait. He's going to be all night long, like, you know. Lionel Richie. He's going to be all night long like Lionel Richie
all
doing this
night
thing.
Long.
Hitting those galactics. And Dan's back from load management. Dan, how you doing?
What? Back from what?
Load management, like the Spurs. Like Kawhi.
Like Kawhi.
Oh, all right.
Not like the Metallica album.
Load. Okay, yeah. I'm back. What's up? You guys miss me? What's up?
They did. There was a lot of people missing you last week.
I don't think so. Yeah. I'll be missing you.
I can't take credit for that. Torch was in the chat earlier today. It was like, is Dan back from load management? And I just had to, use it in the intro. So thanks. Thanks, Justin.
No, I was in Medford, Oregon. And that's all we're going to say about that.
that's all I got to say about that. But yeah, it's an exciting week in our hobby. We've got some spring training buzz. We're going to talk about some players in baseball that have already started to heat up, and we're going to kind of dissect some of their price. But we're going to jump right into Revolution, and we're going to talk about everything Galactic. Tell people why they should collect Revolution. C-Red.
The reason people should collect Revolution is for the Galactic Parallel. Period! It is the best-looking basketball parallel, in my opinion, in the game, easily. It's a beautiful looking card. Any year, any design of Revolution, and they seem to be, especially the key guys, the key rookies, they all hold their value all these years. They are a legitimately short printed parallel.
Yep.
You know, there won't be a lot of them for each player out there. So,
has anybody speculated or gotten any numbers over the years? Because they're one per master case, right? So you get one per 16 box case. And there's what, like 300 to 400 different cards on the checklist, right? So you're going to get one out of the 400 in each every other case. So you got to figure there's only what, like 10, 20, 30 of each one?
Yeah.
Maybe less?
There's the early years, people did calculate the early years, like the first few years. You're looking at probably 10 or less copies of each player. Mm. Last year's was obviously the because they added the impact parallel number to 149, so that obviously increased production. So people are estimating it about like 15 to 20 copies of each player for last year's Revolution
race. And I think they kept it the same this year, because I don't think there was
anything
from what
higher
I could
than
tell,
149.
Yeah, there wasn't any 149. They still had the impact, but all the numbers and all the parallels fell in line from what we know and love. Dan broke some cases this morning. What did you think of Revolution?
It's cool. I got a question for C-Rad. Let's get in the DeLorean. Let's gun it to 88.
Yes.
And let's go 10 years into the future. Do you think the Galactic is going to be a premier card to collect?
Yeah.
I do, with all my heart. Like, basically, you probably couldn't put it next to like a gold Prism rookie.
What about silver?
But probably on par with the silver, maybe above a silver.
I'd rank it higher than a silver in terms of, we're talking about prism base cards. It probably won't rival the gold, the true gold number to 10 out of prism. But it's going to be very close, bro. It's going to be very close. And if you have any of if these rookies become like, if whatever rookies you choose to collect, if any of them become like the next LeBron or whatever, that's going to be one of the most sought after cards of them.
I still feel like it's kind of underground, like, in a way. Like, I still feel like, I mean, the price would not say that it's underground anymore.
No, actually, but think about it. It really didn't increase as much as you've seen the increase of Hoops and Donruss.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
So yeah, dude, it's underground.
Yeah, it only increased six times. As
no, and
to
nobody
20 times.
Nobody has opened up more Revolution.
Yep.
Than Conrad.
Yeah, I've opened up so much, and I miss opening up those early years too, like
the lean years.
I actually put out a bounty, so for anybody listening to this podcast or that follows Mojo Break or that breaks with us, I put out a bounty, bro. Find me a case of 1516 Revolution, and I'll give you a nice little finder's fee. It doesn't exist. You could find one or two boxes on eBay, and that's it, bro.
It's in the bottom of the river.
It doesn't exist. Like, you can search the entire internet. You will not find even an 8-box case, bro. I'm gonna give you a nice finder's fee.
I'll take
find
you
me
up
a
on
case,
that.
Bro.
I bet I can find it.
Okay. Okay.
I'm pretty sure I can.
I would
find
be
it.
So happy if you can find
I'm
it.
Pretty
then.
Sure I can
I would
find
be
it.
So happy because 1516 obviously is the first year. And it's going to be one of those situations like 12-13 Prism.
I know it well.
That's right. It was 15-16. I said earlier today on the video it was 14-15, but I get those.
We previewed it. We were the first ones to ever open it.
I wish you guys would have kept it from me.
We were confused.
We were trashing it.
We were confused.
We were hating on it.
I get it. Like that, those early years, people, it's like without the hits, especially, you know, and it's like, it is like you see the same card over and over, especially those early years because they only gave you two autos per master case.
Yeah.
So it was very, very like you weren't getting any autos. It was just base. It was just all base.
Yeah. I mean, so. that was the thing where like, we're going to do a case of 8 boxes and there's going to be like maybe 2 autos. Like, what are you doing?
Maybe. One, yeah, it was
it's
one,
like, but they,
in 8
it really lived up to the name that it was a revolution in cards. It was like kind of the first thing that was like, this is going to be parallels. People are going to just chase rookie cards. We don't care about the autos. It's like they had the foresight back then to what the whole collecting community is all about this year.
That's what I gave kudos to Panini. Like, for years now about Revolution, because it came out at a time when quite frankly people didn't really care about base cards at all. Like, they really wanted their hits, they wanted their jerseys, they wanted their autographs, and they out of left field was like, no, we're gonna drop this product that has 2 autos every 16 boxes, so enjoy.
Did you see, not to switch sports, but I was going through some of our pre-orders, and this wasn't actually programmed into the show, but it just reminded me as I was looking at Bowman Chrome. Did you see this?
I did not. I don't.
Okay. Bowman Chrome's coming out. You know, obviously we haven't had 2021 Bowman yet, but after 2021 Bowman, probably like July or August, you get Bowman Chrome, right? Which they have the HTA version that has the 3 autos, and then they have the hobby
that
has the 2
one.
Autos. They have one called Light.
Light.
It's Bowman Chrome Light.
L-I-T-E?
And it's set.
L-T-E?
L-I-T-E.
L-I-T-E.
Like Miller Light. Apparently, you're not guaranteed an auto in that box.
Apparently, apparently you're not even guaranteed any cards.
So what I'm thinking is it's going to be a box, right? It's going to be a box that has probably unique parallels, and they don't have to use autograph content. So they're trying to go that route with baseball as well. So that's why roundabout way. That's why I'm kind of intertwining this with Revolution talk.
Interesting.
But I haven't seen a sell sheet on the Bowman Chrome Light, but that would probably be the product to try this out on.
Bro, is it just me though? Like, I know the hobby has been pushing more towards like people want to collect base because it's like, you know, for a lot of people it's more affordable to just collect the base cards of rookies, but for, like, is it just me? Like, baseball's not there yet.
It hasn't.
Like, baseball's, they still want their autographs.
Well,
right?
I mean, it's starting to pick up with the series, you know, like the Tatis update rookie
right,
is now
right.
like $300-$400, right? The Soto's around there, the Acuna's are around there. Obviously, the Trout's are, you know, a couple thousand.
But baseball collectors haven't fully bought in like football and basketball collectors,
no.
have, right?
And then, you know, the Bowman Auto, the Bowman Chrome cards still, I mean, they're starting to climb up, but they're not quite there yet. You're exactly right in that it's kind of third when it comes to parallels. It's basketball, football, and then baseball.
I mean, if Topps want, like, you know, we'll see what happens. Topps is trying it, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see. So it'll be interesting to follow along. I did want to talk about this big Golden auctions that happened. More records being set. Golden.
Did they have a good weekend?
They had a good weekend. Fantastic weekend. Kevin Durant was happy. They took in $45.2 million on over 5,000 items, and an average around $9,000 per
auction.
That's
chump change, bro.
Our latest winner
and
auction.
And he got nothing on Top Shot.
I know, right? They're just trying to compete with Top Shot. Our latest winner auction smashed the previous industry record we set in January for the highest grossing sports collectible auction ever by more than 40%. In the process, we experienced our highest individual user participation ever and exceeded our all-time high for total number of bids placed by 35%, said Ken Golden, who is getting a $40 million capital boost from outside investors. So you can see some of the big cards that went. We'll discuss the Kobe refractor gold black label that we kind of alluded to. It went for $1.79 million, the 10th most expensive card ever. So black label Kobe. We were talking about this last week on the show, or was it 2 weeks ago now? We talked about 2 weeks ago on how
a grader can change somebody's life.
Yes, and that to the tune of what, 800 to a million, maybe more than what
so
it was sold?
So I think I want to say that card sold 4 or 5, maybe 6 years ago for $30,000.
Well, let's see what a PSA 10 Kobe Chrome. Kobe Chrome. I mean, it's a beautiful card. I mean, and I don't doubt that it deserved a black label, but that's insane. I don't know if we're going to be able to find one because they're pretty rare. But I'm just interested to see it, like in comparison to a Kobe, just regular PSA 10 Chrome, what it would sell for compared to this black label. Yeah, you can't even find one. Well, 500,000. So literally, the black label.
Half a milli.
So the black label, and that was February 2nd. So you could say, and this is inflated prices, you could say that grader that decided to give that guy a black label basically gave that guy at least $1 million.
$1 million.
By grading it. That's life-changing. That's life-changing money that these graders have.
Absolutely.
They have the control of life-changing, family-changing money possibly. I mean, that's insane. That's nuts. It's crazy. LeBron James 2004, which I believe is his first autograph logo, man. Not obviously a rookie, but a second year card, went for $1.2 million. Beautiful card.
Hey, we'll take the second years, bro.
I know, right? That's a sick sick card. And then a Tiger Woods 2001 SB Authentic, $344,000 for the all-time record for a golf card.
Why? That's not a one-on-one or anything.
No, there's 100 of them. Yeah.
Seems a little high.
It's the gold parallel.
I mean, I love me some Tiger Woods, but
That is his industry standard card.
But I mean, there's 100 of them.
There is 100. I don't know how many gem 10s there are, but probably a pop 20 or something if I had to guess. And then a 55 Clemente sold for $1.1 million. It's just insane. I mean, like, every week we're talking about this on the hype, about these cards that are just going for insane amount of money. I mean, if you bought this pristine 10 Kobe, you can't even say that's an investment, can you? Can you be like, I'm making an investment on that card? Could it be $3 million in 2 years? Could it be $3 million in 5 years?
But I'm talking about, like, when it originally was sold. I think it sold for, like, $30,000. 6, 7 years ago, would you have bought that card for $30,000?
No. I know. Yeah. Exactly. That nobody ever knows. Nobody ever knows.
Them guys that were, you know, obviously the vintage guys, the vintage collectors, they're winning right now.
Yeah.
Like the guy that sold the Kameni. Like Kameni.
Same thing. I was like, dude, Charlie Sheen, dude.
Yeah, winning. They're winning. They're Charlie Sheening. Like, and then the guys in 03 and 04 who were collecting LeBron and MJs, mm-hmm, during that time. And even, like, you know, like, they're probably having some, like, kind of chrome Kobe's and stuff, the basketball collectors. God, man.
I know. 03-04. I mean, we're not even 20 years ago.
We know it's a trickle-down effect. So if those cards go for X amount of dollars, the lower-grade cards, and in some instances, maybe even the raw versions of those cards are going to go up.
Yep.
Substantially. What are we looking at in the next year in this category, in this high-end vintage category? Are we still going to grow? These cards are going to go in somebody's collection, and they're probably never going to see the light.
Yeah,
of day.
I mean, I'm assuming that some rich guy bought this, and he's just a conversation piece until he passes.
Portfolio investment.
He passes, and then whoever gets a hold of it after that, they decide what they're going to want to do. And that may be what's happening with some of these cards. I hate to be morbid, but like somebody may not even wanted to sell that, and then somebody passed away, and they sold it, right? That's usually how it happens. The guy's going to take it to the grave, and then, you know, whoever gets it and it will is like, well, that's $2 million. I'm gonna sell. I don't like cards. I'm going to sell that. So.
Unless you're Vegas Dave and you're chasing the clout and you just have to flip it for more money every time and say that you sold the most expensive card of all time.
Yeah, how do I do
when
it?
When you're rocking the Derek Carr PC, though, it's tough.
Yeah. And when you bet on all 30 teams to win the World Series.
Okay. Dude, let me – you know something
this
funny?
This is a bash bash Vegas Dave again.
I know we went on that tangent, didn't we?
I want to give you. I want to see you guys' reaction to this. All right, so in Place and Patch, I don't know how much Place and Patches you guys have opened, but there's a subset base called Legends.
Zero.
There's a subset called Legends. Okay, it's a base card, and it's Legends of the game. Like there's Barry Sanders on there, Jay Wright, blah blah blah. David Carr has a base card Legends. David Carr,
not Derek.
Derek. David Carr.
Did it say Legends of the Sack?
He's part of the Legends subset.
Yeah, it's odd. He was the first overall pick, and actually the first overall pick in Texans franchise history.
Yeah, first player in Texans history, basically. Yeah.
I get it. I mean, I don't. You think of David Carr, you don't think of a legend. You don't think Hall of Fame. You don't think All Pro. You don't think.
I don't think average.
I think what makes
I think, you know what I think? 49er great. Because he was a 49er.
Cup of coffee there.
I think that the reason he got on that subset was because he's the brother of Derek Carr. And, you know, anybody who's associated with DC is a legend. So
somebody actually spent $21 on a three-case player break of David Carr.
Interesting. Hopefully they made their legendary rainbow.
That's crazy, huh? I'm trying to find your... Oh, right there. That's the one you're talking about, right?
Yes, sir.
Legends. And it's like black and white David Carr. Come on, man.
And it's got him running for his life.
Yes, like he did half his career. Even on the back. It's a different game. Looks the same, but different game.
He's all, that ain't a clean pocket. I better get out of here.
Oh, the back says, in the first game in Texas history, David Carr threw the first and last touchdown passes of the contest. It was the only game he won his entire career. Put it on a card.
First game, he got sacked 17 times.
crazy. Well, speaking of legends, we had the great Joe Staley, former 49er, all pro, on the NFL all-decade team. He sat down with us for our inaugural episode of The Break Room, which you can find under Mojo Break Media. Awesome little segment, and we're going to be doing it more often. We've got some other guys lined up that are going to come in and break some cards with us. So here's a little snippet from The Break Room.
We know you've been collecting for a long time. What's your earliest memory of collecting sports cards?
I mean, my earliest memory is just like the instant I was in the sports when I was like four and discovered that, you know, when I was like probably six, that there was cards out there.
Yeah,
I was obsessed with it. You know, it's like every kid that's like sports obsessed, you get sports obsessed about collecting cards. And my mom would tell stories of like, you know, we got a dollar every week. We did all of our jobs, we got like a dollar, and that was our allowance. And I saved up every single dollar that I ever had from the moment that I was like getting allowance when I was 6 years old to when I left the house, basically. I saved every penny that I had and I just spent it on cards, which, you know, I was also 6 years old when it was like 1990, so the cards I was collecting weren't the greatest as far as value nowadays, but everybody thought they were going to get rich because, you know, our parents, that was the era where they had all the vintage stuff that everybody threw away, and so everybody held on to all that stuff, and so I have bins of all that stuff at my house, but my parents' house, but none of it's actually really good, but I was just really obsessed with it. I remember sixth grade, we did like a job shadow thing at our school, and there was a local card shop called Sports Treasures in Rockford, Michigan, and I got to job shadow them there.
Nice.
And I left there being like, there's nothing greater than what they do for a living. There's nothing greater. So
nice.
Doug, you have the best job in the world. People say professional athletes do. I don't. I'm envious of what you do. Ripping cards all day. Get out.
Yeah, it's hard to resist opening up the packs, man. I can barely contain myself. So
I'm not going to show my address, but this thing has been sitting on my countertop for 3 days, and you know, I texted you right when I got there. I really was like, if I just open up a little bit. We'll see what
reseal it. Did you shake it to try to see what you think is in there?
Out of sight, out of mind. I was just like, right, I'm gonna leave it be.
All right, we are back. And, yeah, make sure you go to our Mojo Break Media. Cody's also got a great MLB preview on Bo Bichette, Luis Robert, breaking it down on, you know, how their cards are looking and what the outlook is on those guys. It's a 10-part series, so make sure you follow that. And then all of our episodes of The Hype are also on Mojo Break Media as well. So go there, hit click subscribe. We're also doing a 10% off on MojoBreakShop.com. So if you want to get a box of Revolution, get it shipped to you. You can use code MOJO10 at checkout, and that's Mojo Break Shop. Not to be confused with MojoBreak.com, but MojoBreakShop.com, where we have all of our wax, and you can save big by using that code MOJO10, and that's MOJO10. Save 10%, and it's one time only, but a lot of the stuff were cheaper than, you know, a lot of the other major online retailers, and you use that 10% off, you might be able to start your own break company.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
My favorite part of that interview, and I think it's Cody's masterful editing skills, is I think when you're going to watch, I don't think it was in that clip, but Joe actually picks up his FedEx box and just shows the world his address.
Yeah, he does. He does.
And Cody was able to blur that out a little bit.
Yep,
he does. Who knows what Joe could have got a bunch of. I mean, it happened with Dave Portnoy over the quarantine. Like, people were just sending him, like, boxes and boxes
accident.
And boxes. Yeah, on accident. Like, people were just sending him, like, endless amounts of, like, stuff. And a lot of promo stuff, too. Like, and he was doing, like, live unboxings and stuff like that. So I was like, maybe Joe did that on purpose to try to get some free swag from everybody.
That's true. It's a good idea. Maybe I'll put your address out there. We'll do a test.
Yeah, go ahead.
We'll see what happens.
It'll be great.
Send you all kinds of different kombuchas. But let's talk about some spring training buzz and some spring training prices. Some of these cards are just absolutely insane. A red shimmer non-auto Jason Dominguez first Bowman sold for $15,000.
Mm. There you go with the non-auto right there.
There.
We're
base,
just talking about it.
Base going up.
2016 Bowman Chrome Gold Refractor Auto of Juan Soto, $80,000.
Nope.
Bro, do we just have infinite money now?
Do we just have infinite money now?
This is pulling it from the trees.
I don't know if that was paid, dude. I don't know.
I mean,
eighty. Like, if you had $80,000 burning a hole in your pocket, would Juan Soto? Would that? That's where you're gonna throw that $80,000. I mean, well, I like Juan Soto. I don't know if I like Juan Soto $80,000.
I got a World Series and Trout doesn't. I mean,
but up and coming, you got to say he's probably one of the top three MLB players in the league. Up and coming. So you got Trout, Soto, Acuna. Like, those three guys, you would say.
I don't know if Trout's an up and comer. I think he's already cemented.
No. I didn't say Trout.
Oh, you did say Trout.
I said Tatis.
Oh, I thought you said Trout. Okay.
No, I said Trout wouldn't be considered.
Right.
An up and comer.
Tatis, Soto.
Tatis, Soto, and Acuna.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
The next coming of probably the most promising baseball players.
So who would you buy out of those three if it was you?
Who would I buy out of those three? That's a good question. I would go Tatis.
See, I would go Soto.
I would go Tatis because their team is built to win right now.
I mean, the Nationals got a pretty good squad too, man. I know the Padres, but
how much do you think Juan Soto already having a World Series ring has increased his prices?
Nothing.
Not
really.
You don't think people don't care about
No, baseball, you look at Buster Posey, people don't care about World Series when it comes to collecting cards. Look at Trout. If people cared about
Buster Posey has never been a real flashy player.
It doesn't matter. He's got the hardware.
I get it. He's done some great things, but he's not a very exciting ball player to watch.
Yeah. I mean, that's hard. I think I would go Soto. What about you, C-Red?
Are any of those three guys Athletics or? No.
He's like, I go Coco Crisp.
And I'll tell you right now, the way the A's don't spend money, they're not going to be on the A's.
No, their prospects are not even highly rated this year. I don't know, man. Yeah, give me the guy, the young guy that's already been there. Let me go Soto.
Yeah, I don't know. I just like Acuna didn't, he didn't run out fly balls and stuff like that.
Yeah, the Padres must have been way off just giving Tatis all that money with all those years. They don't know what they're doing.
He hasn't even played a full season, though. I mean, yes, he looked great for 160-something games. He played.
He's got swag, though. He's got the hair. He's got like...
He does have more swag than Soto.
And Acuna has a lot of swag, maybe too much.
Yeah, I guess if you had to rank them on swag, here's us old guys talking about swag.
This is tough.
But if you had to rank them based on swag, Soto would be the third guy. Maybe that's why I like him.
Swaggy. He's a guy who just shows up and goes to work.
Just goes to work, man. He doesn't care about. He's the Tony Gwynn of the generation now.
You know who has swag? Anybody that wears gold and yellow, bro.
Oregon Ducks, huh?
Yeah. Green and gold. Green and gold. Yellow, green, gold. Gold, green, yellow, and white.
Yeah. Who's the guy that collected the A's? Ricky Henderson still? Or
Jose Canseco? Yeah.
The Bass Brothers?
Mark McGwire?
No, I might go to an A's game. I mean,
Barry Zito.
They're fun. That's what I was trying to tell people. Like, we were having a debate on one of the breaks like a few weeks ago because somebody was saying that baseball is the worst sport. It's so boring. I'm like, bro, you gotta like. I don't even follow baseball like heavy, but like going to the game is actually like a lot more fun than you watching
on
TV.
Yeah, it's a great time. It's $16 for a beer.
It's a conversation game too.
$12 for a hot dog.
You're not at the edge of your seat all game, so you can have conversations with whoever you're with, and it's more of a chill like atmosphere. And then if it gets down to the close to the end of the game. I mean, I don't know. Just nostalgic to me. And Torch in the chat saying if Trout won a World Series, it would get stupid. If he's already at the prices he's at without winning a World Series, yeah. Can you imagine the buildup of if the Angels clinch and go to like the AL championship?
I'm off the Trout bandwagon. Oh, yeah. I'm off of it. He's not even the best player on his team.
Oh, who's the best player on the team?
Ohtani.
Wow.
Hey, how many innings has Mike Trout pitched? None.
Well, speaking of Trout, this is a good interlude into this card. Which
I love
popped
Ohtani.
Up.
I think Ohtani's gonna have a breakout year.
This card popped up. I think it's C-Rat's favorite baseball product of the year, but definitive. Check this out. So Bryce Harper wrote, "Mike is really really good," and Mike Trout wrote, "Bryce is really really good," on a dual auto from definitive.
That's
Bryce
cool.
Harper. Mike Trout, dual auto. It's like they're passing.
Yeah,
notes.
It's cool. They got the face of baseball on there.
That's why Definitive is the best product,
Bryce
bro.
Bryce Harper.
He does have some luxurious hair. It's like that hair just keeps growing.
He looks like a ball player.
He does. He does look like a ball player. But what do you guys think about this? And it's open to you guys in the chat. What do you think about like inscriptions on cards like this? I know C-Rad pulled that big Zion RJ that had "You're my brother, my brotherhood,
brother for
whatever."
Life. Yep.
And it was kind of sloppy. I mean, I liked the card; it was cool, but
it was sloppy,
right? Mm-hmm. This isn't necessarily sloppy, but obviously they both wrote the same thing. So, what do you guys think? Is that something like getting something like that? Is that cool? There was also the Tiger Woods LeBron dual auto that they both had the same birthdays. And obviously different years, but they wrote the birth date on the card. It was a dual. I thought that was cool. And Dan laughed because
I'm thinking of inscriptions, and the first thing that came to my mind is can't wait to play in the big leagues.
Yeah,
the standard.
Yeah. Can't wait to play in the big leagues.
Can't wait. I think I saw
a Leaf basketball product where it says can't wait to play in the big leagues. So I'm just kidding. I think the personalized inscriptions are very cool. It makes it a unique piece. You know what I mean? You know what would have been hella funny if Bryce Harper wrote, "Mike is a really, really good ball player," and then Mike Trout wrote, "I am."
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. You just put thank
Thanks
you.
For the compliment.
Thank you.
I don't think this is a facsimile, but Mike Trout's auto looks a little different. It actually looks more similar to Mike Trout's old auto.
I was going to say that.
Maybe it was the way that he had to sign it, so he tried to sign it and get it fit it better.
Both those guys have autos that have changed over the years.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Bryce Harper used to be... Used to be real funky.
It used to be.
He's like just a big BH, right?
Yep, yep. Speaking of, you had a chance to actually meet Mike Trout. And I know we talked about it years ago.
Yeah, we're boys.
You're best buds.
Yeah, we're good.
He was a really nice guy, right? You said he was
super
chill.
He was super nice. I mean, I don't know if he was Chris Bryant nice. I don't think anybody's Chris Bryant nice. But he's a good dude. Good dude. Loves talking about the Philadelphia Eagles.
Oh, you guys were talking about the Eagles?
Yeah.
Wentz back then, probably?
There was the Wentz-Foles conversation. Who do you keep?
Because it was an offseason of football. Nice. That's pretty cool. Yeah, I didn't get to go to that one. Jealous. Missed out on that. Never have a chance to do that again.
Good dude. No Deion Sanders.
Yeah, Deion was fun. Some other big spring training sales. Torkelson, Orange, $11,000.
I put a couple of those.
Jeez. 11,000 air.
How many career hits does he have in the major leagues?
Zero.
Mm-hmm.
Big donut.
Uh-huh.
That's this. If you're new to collecting, this will confuse the crap out of you, but this is the way of life when it comes to collecting. Guys that don't play, haven't played yet, sometimes are better to have than guys that have played for 10, 20 years and have been all-stars and won World Series championships. Perfect example. I know I beat old Buster Posey down because I do have a PC of Buster Posey. Never going to sell him, but watching their value go down after the man's won three championships. And then you got a guy that can't catch behind the home plate that strikes out almost every time he's at bat, Joey Bart, and he sells for more than a three-time World Series Rookie of the Year MVP batting title guy.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
It does, because you keep on comparing to Buster Posey. I love Buster Posey. He's a great guy to have on your team. He makes your team better, but he's not flashy. Is Buster Posey ever going to hit 30 homers?
No.
Is Buster Posey, or and you and now, I mean, his best offensive years are behind him.
Yeah.
And you just keep on talking about, like, you're acting like it's 2010. Like, you're just like, he's in his prime. He's forever in his prime.
How many other players in the league have three World Series championships? That are hitters. Not any other pitcher. Not Romo. None of these guys.
Well, I mean, Yadier Molina?
Three?
I'm looking at
maybe
Cody.
Two.
Oh, yeah. Oh, close.
Yeah.
But
Pablo.
Pablo. And you want to talk about a catcher.
He almost got another one, too.
But, okay.
But Pablo Sandoval is like the Robert Horry conversation, where Robert Horry has seven titles. But did Robert Horry win those titles? Buster Posey probably single-handedly was one of the reasons those titles were won.
He did win the 2012 World Series MVP.
Madison Bumgarner.
Yeah, and the MVP.
Madison Bumgarner won one of them. Did not matter who else was. Bumgarner could have went out there just with Bumgarner. No defense, no nothing. Didn't even matter. Like, I think he pitched.
But who called that game?
I think in that World Series, I think he did.
He called his own game.
He called his own game. He caught his own ball.
Okay.
He's that fast. He throws the ball. He runs over there. He catches it. He did everything. I think he hit like, what did he hit, like 12 homers? Madison Bumgarner did everything. Like, without, you cannot make an argument that Madison Bumgarner is the reason why the Giants won in 14. They could have won that without Buster Posey. They could have had Eli Whiteside behind the plate, and they probably would have still won because it was Bumgarner's series.
I don't disagree there. I'm just, the whole point of it is that you got guys like Torkelson, 11,000. Tatis is playing, so that you see that sale of $44,000 for an Orange. And then you got a Luis Robert, Superfractor, one of one, sold for $25,000. This guy batted .230 last year. He batted .230. Yeah, granted, 60-game season, short season, whatever. He batted .230.
That's an insert.
That is an insert from Chrome.
Yeah.
Superfractor that sold for $25,000.
I don't know if I agree with that.
Well, you didn't buy it, so.
No, but. Dude,
which one surprises? Let's ask you, Siwa. Which one of these surprises you the most out of these three sales?
Oh, damn, the $45,000 for Tatis.
You think that's too much?
That seems pretty high to me, bro.
Well, and that's a rookie auto, right?
That's a chrome rookie auto.
That's not
right. The prospect.
So that's like not even the prospect auto.
Yeah,
that one's crazy. The middle one, Luis Robert, it being an insert
and a sticker auto
and a sticker auto. Out of Topps Chrome, I have no idea how that sold for $25,000. Actually, out of all of them, the one that makes the most sense is the Torkelson.
Really? Tell me why.
Because you're buying that one on the what-if factor, the speculation.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and that is the best card that you're ever going to get for Torkelson.
No, there's a couple more.
No, but out of that set, it's his first Bowman. Yeah, yeah. It's his first Bowman.
Because he had the red of the Super.
No, I get what you're saying, but that is the best product that you can get a Torkelson card out of.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Where the Luis Robert and the Tatis Jr., I don't know if those rank in the top five.
Tatis, maybe. Maybe not. Robert, for sure. I agree with you there. Top five, maybe for Tatis.
There is probably 20 other cards that you would want if you're a Luis Robert collector over. I would rather have the Super Fractor non-auto out of Chrome.
Yeah. Yeah, Bowman, Topps Chrome, all maybe even flagship 101. I mean, flagship, they don't have a 101.
Maybe even something at a, maybe even like a Heritage.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
Yeah.
That's kind of, that's wacky. I want to see if those are paid, though.
I know. That's why we beat this into the ground every week.
Think about this real quick. So let's say, hypothetically, I have that Luis Robert, right? And I tell Conrad, buy that card for me. You don't have to pay for it, but just buy it.
Mm-hmm.
So now there is a log of, there's data that card is sold for $25,000, right? In 3 months, I put that card back up, and the only data you have is $25,000. And I put it up for $25,000 or best offer, and someone's like $20,000 because I have data of it selling for $25,000, but it actually never did.
Yeah. That's a good point. I think some of that is happening. I think some of that is happening, and I think eBay, I don't know how, if somebody knows how to get a hold of eBay, I mean, it should be pretty easy to put paid.
How do you call eBay?
No, there's plenty of ways to call them. If you're a power seller like we are, you have a special line. You have the bat phone.
You don't.
The bat phone?
The bat phone. Some other spring training sleepers. Bobby Dalbec has hit 4 home runs and 16 at-bats. After his call-up in 2020. Nico Horner, 9 for 13. He might get the second base job. And remember, Mickey Moniak is having a great spring so far. Former first overall pick in 2016. Everybody's pretty much forgot about old Mickey Moniak. So it'd be interesting to see what happens with Mickey Moniak. Get those things. Go dust those things off your shoebox, see if you got one. I actually was moving. And I had bought, literally one of the first Tops Now. I bought 20
of
the Mickey Moniak signings.
Yep.
And somehow in my move, they had fallen out of their snap case, and I just threw them away. So hopefully, because they're all dinged up, and I just can't look at dinged cards. So wow. I threw them away. I threw my Mickey Moniak cards away.
Wow.
And
I couldn't even give
them to somebody that they were dinged up.
Such a collector you are.
They were dinged
up. Cards away.
They were fives. I couldn't even give them to a kid and be like, I'm a card store and I give you dinged up cards. I couldn't do it, so I had to throw them away. So, but Mickey Moniak, we'll see what he does.
Out of circulation forever.
Yeah, yeah. Just hey, and I'm helping the Pop Report for everybody else that owns some of those cards. I'm helping them out. So. I wanted to talk about a story of an email that we got yesterday, and I'm not going to name any names because these guys are good guys. The guy that sent us the email is a good guy, but it kind of speaks to card distribution and what we have to go through as guys that deal with distributors to get our products. So all the products that we're breaking, the hobby products and things like that, we have to go through distributors. But we have 5 or 6 of them that we deal with, and allocations have been getting bad. It's been to the point where maybe we used to get 30 cases of something and now we get 1 case or 2 cases of certain things because there's such a demand for it and the product goes up on a weekly basis where these guys
daily
basis, maybe an hourly basis, where they don't want to sell us any of this and leave money on the table regardless of how loyal of a customer and regardless of how much money you spend. They're not going to sell me something for $100 that's going to sell for $1,000 in 2 days. So it's just not going to happen. So just to show you how kind of funny things are, got this email yesterday. It was.
Oh, this isn't.
I'm not showing this.
He's
okay.
Whoa. I was all good.
Okay. So great guy trying to make everybody happy here. Gives us an alert that there's a bundle deal going down today. It was today that was going to happen. But last night he sent us an email saying, hey, there's going to be a bundle deal. So there will be 10 main winners. This is how it goes. Tomorrow I'll be sending you an email, first come, first serve. There'll be 10 main winners and a smaller consolation 11th winner. The winners will be in order of how I receive the replies. All you have to do is say yes or take my money. And he actually says that on there. And we're familiar with their bundle deals. It's usually like a lot of bad products with a few good products. But he will reply saying sold out. Says the first 10 bundles will be around $4,000. The 11th will be around $2,500 because it will have less products in it. It will be 2020 or 2021 football and basketball and will be loose boxes. So literally we have no idea going into this what he's selling us. We have no idea. We just know that it's 2020 football or basketball. Tomorrow's email will have exactly what's in the bundle, the price per box, and the exact total. The bundle must be shipped Friday, and if you don't have the funds, you don't get to play. Please do not email me to tell you what time I'm going to do it. I will disqualify you and not send you the email at all. As always, remember that getting your hands on a bundle deal is pretty much the only way to grow your allocation on sports cards and to get your numbers up. So we have to basically Raz.
Oh, well, I mean,
we have to get into a Raz.
We're not. It's not a Raz because you're not like
losing.
That's yeah. You're not spending money, and it's not like
okay.
Give me, just Venmo me $1,000, and like we'll see if you get a chance to buy. Like no, it's not. But you are. It's kind of. It's a first come first serve. It's fair. But I think what you're trying to say is that you're essentially gonna have to buy something. Sight unseen.
You have to buy something sight unseen, and the only way that you can get your numbers up with this distributor is to hopefully get lucky and win the bundle deal.
Okay.
So
now this email came in. It sold out in 2 minutes. Actually, less than 2 minutes because the initial email went out, and then the email 2 minutes later we received that said sold out. So maybe a minute. So obviously, there's a demand for it, right? But there is no way that anybody was able to look over what it was. You basically just had to go, yep, I'll take it. Like, yep, reply. Yeah, yeah, take my money. You couldn't even look at it. So you were buying it essentially sight unseen.
Yeah, and that's what we were trying to – you guys are saying, well, all these prices of these boxes are going up. Like, we can't even, like, give people money for boxes. They won't even take it because they don't have enough to give to the point where – this is the equivalent of somebody going up to your door and saying, I have something for $4,000. I'm not going to tell you what it is. Do you want it? And we have to be like, yes, I'll take it. I don't know what it is. I'll take it. I mean, that's how crazy it is out there from in distributor land. So, you know, go easy on those card shops that are charging maybe $10 over blowout on certain boxes. Because it's tough out there.
That's the equivalent of us doing this. Like, let's say we're doing a Revolution, right? And you got the Hornets up. And you're like, all right, if you check out with the Hornets, now that you got it, we're going to tell you what the price is going to be.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. So the Hornets are going to be
$1,800. Yeah.
But you got them. You got them.
Yep.
But they're $1,800.
You're onto something.
Yeah. They're.
Well, we tell them the price after. Yeah. Interesting.
No, we'd never do that route. But
National Treasures.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, I honestly hope things do slow down eventually. And I mean, one thing to keep in mind is things slow down. Card prices go down too. But it's just getting wild out there. And this is a perfect example. I just was reading this email last night and I was like, I cannot believe that he's selling me something that I don't know what I'm getting. And I'm just anxiously waiting to say yes that I want it. Like literally that's what
we were not fast enough. We would have absolutely bought this package, but we have purchased probably 95% of these type of solicitations. Yeah. So yeah, I understand. I get why they do it. Distributors are also in a very odd situation. They have people calling and asking and just having a lot of money to push around, and they want product, but distributors, some of them don't even have the product. Or if they have the product, they don't want to sell it because what Doug was saying before, why sell it? It just keeps on going up. We're not going to – when it does turn a little bit, we're going to see a quick 180. And a lot of distributors are going to be like, we got to get out of the – it's like when a stock is like tanking, right?
Yes.
We got to get out of it right now. We got to get out – okay, if you're going to want your pre-orders, you're going to have to order 20 cases of this product that is literally devaluing by the minute.
Mm-hmm.
And because we've been down this road before, they know who they're going to call.
Yeah. And that's what makes it tough if you're a person thinking about getting into this industry. I'm not saying it's impossible, but it's pretty dang near impossible.
If
you're going to do it, not make any money.
If you want to do it the conventional way of getting a resale license and dealing with a distributor and doing it the way that we started, you can't do it right now.
Yeah.
But if you want to, you know, try to figure out a way to get retail from Walmart or scour Instagram and see if you can get good deals and buy and retail at bulk.
That's crazy too, dude. I mean,
I get it, but that is the only way. Like buying from the bot people is going to be the only way to really. And then, and maybe at that point you can build a clientele base, and then when things open up a little bit and mellow out and cool off in the industry, maybe you can talk to a distributor and be like, hey, can I get a license?
But do you really think, and I mean, we know the prices out there. Do you really think that somebody's going to just make no money for like 2 or 3 years just to hold on to it? You know, just to hold on to your business? Like, it's just,
we did.
Yeah.
I mean, we did for years before we like really turned any type of profit.
True. But we were making a little bit of a profit. It's not like I don't think these folks were going to make even anywhere near if they're trying to remain competitive. I mean, there's ways to do value adds, there's ways to make things more creative. There's a million ways you can cut an apple, right?
So you can do a break and create an NFT of yourself and try to add value to that.
I mean, what do you think, C-Rad? Anybody starting out, any kind of like advice or anything like that? There's somebody that's, hey, I'm going to get into breaking, or hey, I'm going to open a card shop.
Yeah, bro. It's just you got to hustle, because it's like you guys are saying, it's going to be very, very hard to start off the traditional way if you want to do breaks or whatever. But, you know, like we've seen like a ton of people on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, eBay, whatever it is, man. You got to really hustle, like it's possible. It's just going to be very, very tough. My main advice is, like, you know, if it's something that you actually really love, then you know, like, you're going to find a way, bro.
Yeah.
If you love it, you're going
to
find a
way. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely possible. But you have to be creative. To do it the old school conventional way of just talking to a distributor or a manufacturer and trying to get product, that I actually am fairly confident in saying that will not be profitable, because you are going to be buying products at essentially, I mean, at that point, if you're doing that, go to an online retailer and buy products directly from them, because you're basically going to be paying the same exact price. And you can probably get set up. Maybe you get a business credit card that has like some rewards, cash back, something like that. And that actually might be the most amount of profit that you can get. If you get like, you know, an introductory like 2% back or something like that, that might be where your margin's at.
What about maybe, I don't know, if you got really good at hustling, maybe you could start calling like all the shops a month like in advance and be like,
yeah, but they're
you'd have to have a little bit of capital, but you'd
but
be
they're
like
they're in the same boat though.
You'd be like, I'll give me a case of Prism, I'll pay you now.
They're in the same,
I'll give you money now for Prism. I mean, I don't know.
They're in the same boat though. Like the card shops get their allocation. They know they're not really in a rush to sell any of this product because it's only going to go up.
Right.
And we deal with a fair amount of card shops.
But I'm saying, what if you bought it at retail, pre-ordered it, and then maybe just let everybody break it, and then you waited it out, and then maybe you had some margin built into that?
Yeah, but then you're not having income come in. I like know. You're basically, what you're doing is that you're putting money out and then waiting months for any type of revenue to come in.
Yeah. It's crazy.
I mean, I would probably try to focus on older products, products that are under the radar, if you could find them. Maybe not do basketball, because basketball is really through the roof. And I would probably do small breaks and maybe do one box here, one box there.
That's what I see a majority of new breakers do. They do one box.
I mean, you basically just chip away. Now, granted, like, you may, after packing and shipping, and you're probably not going to have any employees at that point, you might be working 8 hours on that one break, and you may end up profiting like 15, 20 bucks. You're going to, like you said, you're going to have to love doing it.
Yeah.
You're going to have a real passion for it, because you're basically paying yourself a couple dollars an hour.
Yep. True. Very true. Yeah, I mean, and one of the things that does protect us guys that have been, you know, dealing with distributors for over 10 years now, is that these guys cannot be bought like other industries where it's like, oh, guy's got $20 million. He's going to come in. He's going to start doing a business. One of the things that's good about this is that these distributors will not sell to the guy, because they can't. They have you know, they may sell him some stuff that's on the shelf at the stock price, but they're not giving any allocation to any new customers that haven't earned it. So it does protect the shops. It does protect guys that have been doing business for 10 cents.
Yeah, I mean, but nobody, but we're getting back to the whole, like, if the product is going to go up and you know it's going to go, why sell it? Like, nobody wants to sell anything. Like, the amount of breaks that we do, there's probably people, distributors, somebody, people in this industry who look at us and go, you guys are not very bright. You guys are doing, you guys should not be breaking all this product. But what we're doing, our business model is not to hold product. Our business model is to break the product. I think what we're doing is we're actually helping out the whole industry. The more product that we open, if you're holding this product, it's we're indirectly making your product go up.
Right. Yeah.
Somebody down the chain has to open up the product.
Yes.
We all can't just hold on to it.
Michael's in the chat saying he pre-ordered PGA Golf from somebody and some shop, and they he bought it for $300 a box. And he pre-ordered 10, and now they're going for $900 a box, and they called him and said that you can only get half your order.
Yeah.
And that's bunk. I mean, if that's they weak. Only get five and they're giving you all five, you know, if they got cut from the distributors, but I don't know. Me, I'm like, I'd be like going into their shop, seeing if they're selling more, and be like, you got more?
Yeah, bro, like.
That's messed
up. We talked about this before. Like, if you have a pre-order price, like, this is for all the card shops out there, like anybody. Because like, we had a situation happen out here in the Bay Area with some card shop where they weren't selling products that people pre-ordered and they weren't giving them the same price. I think it was from Pokemon type stuff. But if you sell a pre-order to a customer, bro, you're a business, bro. You got to honor that pre-order price.
Yeah, you could not back out
like,
anything.
You just look stupid as a business. Yeah, like greedy. Greedy. Like afterwards, if you cut your customers' pre-orders, like I get it. There's situations where it might, like you said, they might get cut, and that's legitimate, okay? And you got to
know that. Like, we actually have this conversation all the time because we have, and with Prism Basketball coming out, we've had multiple people come in and go, I want to pre-order Prism Basketball from you guys. And we're like, we don't know what we have an idea of what we're going to get, but those numbers are not finalized.
Yeah, right.
So I don't want to basically tell somebody I can lock you in for a case if I don't know. What if I end up getting a case and a half? I mean, you're right. It makes you look dumb.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how many other – I don't know how these other accounts work, but I know in 10 years, if we've gotten confirmation of our allocation, we've never gotten
cut. No.
Yeah.
So if they're telling you they got cut, then they made the mistake of trying to sell without knowing what they're getting, or they're lying to you. It's one of the two. I would lean towards lying to you.
You just can't trust – and then as a customer, you can't trust the business anymore. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you said you were going to deliver me nine boxes, and now you're cutting me in half.
I mean, I think
because it's worth more.
Right, exactly. It's worth more, and they feel like they're leaving money on the table. But you lose a customer that could potentially be spending more and more money with you every time they come in. They're still, I mean, believe me, they still were making money at $300. It's not like it was under their cost. So it's just pure greed when it comes to that. And customers are the whole reason why we're in business, why everybody that does cards are in business. You have to have your customers. You can't think about your customers as dollar signs. That just can't do that. So, that's it. That's all we got for today's show. Once again, if you guys want to buy wax, we do have some pre-orders on mojobreakshop.com. We're pre-ordering Heritage right now. I think $20 less than some of the online retailers, Heritage Baseball and Inception Baseball. We got a great price on a pre-order for Inception Baseball. That's at mojobreakshop.com. Not mojobreak.com, mojobreakshop.com if you want to order just wax and have it ship sealed to you. And if you use code MOJO10, you're not only be able to do the pre-order save, you'll also save 10% on that. So I would definitely load up, get some boxes, have us ship you some boxes, and you'll find the prices are very competitive, if not cheaper than everybody
else.
You
can use
that
code one time, though.
One time, so
one
yeah.
Time. So make it count.
Make it count, yeah. Load up. Maybe get some Christmas presents. I don't know. You know, get some early birthday presents for folks. But, yeah, mojobreakshop.com on your wax. Stay tuned for more Revolution with C-Rad today. I'm calling a Galactic LaMelo today. I think he's going to do it. Maybe even two. Might even pull two of them.
I will say last year, first day of Revolution, I pulled a Galactic Zion. Let's go.
Oh, you did? On the first day?
On the first day.
Wow. That's incredible. That's incredible.
Like that's like a $100 million card.
Yeah. $100 million. Yeah, actually, that's too cheap. Might be $200 million.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe a quarter Billy.
Quarter Bill. Send it to Golden. He'll make it sell. He'll break records for you. All right, guys. Well, that's it. We'll see you guys next week on show number 181. Make sure you subscribe at Mojo Break Media and check out the Joe Staley video, The Break Room. And we got more Break Room episodes to come. All right, guys. Peace out.